Please remember that our previous broadcasts are available as archives on both Blog Talk Radio and our website at riotlions.com. In addition, if you'd like a free item that we've discussed during the broadcast, please send an email to more@riotlions.com. That's more, @riotlions.com. Just put the word free in the subject line and include your name, city, and state in the body of the email.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Ask the Pastor, the program that provides great Bible teaching and you, the listener, with the opportunity to ask your questions. Hosted by Jim Simmons and Pastor Charles Lyons, we look forward to reading and sharing the Word of God with you. Now, in addition, we set aside time in each broadcast to hear your prayer request and go to God in prayer. The program is interactive, so be a part of Ask the Pastor.
Good evening, and welcome to Ask the Pastor on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Jim Simmons, and we're happy that you've joined us this evening. We believe tonight's program will be a blessing to you. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce to you the pastor of Ask the Pastor, author, lecturer, Dr. Charles Lyons. Doctor, how are you this evening?
Very fine. Thank you so much, Jim, and a very special welcome to all of our listeners. We're very pleased that you would take the time to join us, to be with us. And for those listening by the archive, we appreciate, again, you taking the time. We realize all of us have very trying schedules nowadays. And so when we set that time aside for an extra measure of Bible study and prayer, I think that's just something very special. It sets you apart, and I really do appreciate it. I hope you know that. By way of an overview of our program, just a reminder for our folks, maybe this is your first time tuning in, we will begin our time with prayer requests, followed by a time of Bible study. We're actually going, in fact, in this particular broadcast, we'll be finishing up our study of 1 John, and then we go verse by verse as we go through that study. Then, of course, we try to allow time for you, our listeners, if you have questions. It can be about the passage we just studied. It might be something going on in your life you'd like to get some insight on. We welcome your calls. And so that's so important to us for you to be a part of the broadcast. Jim, would you start our program off what we refer to as the right way by leading us in prayer?
I'd be happy to. Heavenly Father, we bow our heads and our hearts, Father, and we want to devote this time to you, Father. I pray, Father, that you would superintend this program tonight. May those that listen in currently or through the archives, Father, would be touched, and that the exact message you would have them hear would be spoken tonight. Father, we love you and we thank you that you are here with us tonight, and I pray that your hand is on Pastor Lyons as he brings your message and your word to a hurting nation, Father. In Jesus' holy, matchless name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And I would
go ahead.
I was going to suggest that that you might want to invite others to listen and be a part of Ask the Pastor. And we wanted to give you our website is www.riotlions.com. Pastor?
Absolutely. And we do appreciate the fact that people can be a part of the program. Certainly want them to always feel a part of the program, and this is one of the ways you can do that.
At Ask the Pastor, our listeners are important to us. We make time for your prayer requests on and off the air. If you have something you would like us to be praying about, please email your prayer request anytime at btr@riotlions.com. We would also love to hear your praise reports about how God answers in your life. Feel free to share your prayers and praise reports by emailing us at btr@riotlions.com. Again, that's btr@riotlions.com.
And again, this is not a particular request that we initially received, but it's one in prayer we want to respond to. And what I refer to, of course, is the many people who were impacted by the storm in Moore, Oklahoma. And we had the opportunity to connect with about 16 people and more this week who had survived the storm. They were without power, but they are thankfully to God and for the safety of their homes, their families, you know, they are very, very blessed. And many of the people that we spoke with, you know, their biggest issue right now is just having power restored. And so we do lift those people up in prayer, and certainly the many people we were unable to reach by phone because of the not only the power outage, but phone outage and, you know, God forbid, far worse. So we want to remember those folks in prayer. There are simply too many more that we've not been able to reach, and we want to continue to pray for that entire community. Jen?
We also have a prayer request from a lady named Lita. She says, "My brother needs you. Please give him comfort and protection. Lord, give him guidance and forgiveness. Please be with him. He needs you."
And I think that is a prayer that many of us should keep as we go to God in prayer and realize, folks, I hope you understood that they weren't referring to Jim or myself, but their brother needs God in their life and for that comfort, for that protection. We also had a prayer request from Deanne who asked, "Please help me. A friend has come to me for advice to help them, to lead them in the right direction." So, again, a very earnest prayer for God's wisdom in making good, sound counsel. Jim?
This last prayer request this evening is Tiffany's. She asks for blessings for Brian with true love and peace with God. Prayers needed for self-control to abide by program's rules. Prayers for his children that they grow in a thriving, healthy, and wisdom-filled environment.
Very true, very true. Let's bring those requests before God at this time. And Jim, if you would begin, I'll go ahead and wrap up.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, that any time, day or night, regardless of the circumstance, we can stop and come to you. Father, you are a loving, caring God. You know our needs before we ask. Father, these that have made these prayer requests, Father, I ask that this moment, you put your arms around. Let them feel your presence. Let them know that you love them unconditionally, that you created them and us, each of us, uniquely and wonderfully for service to you, Father. And I pray, Father, as we lift out of this prayer, these would be comforted and know that you are God and that you are still in control. Pastor.
And Lord, we again lift up to you our nation, certainly at this time, more Oklahoma, for the people that are there, the ones we've been able to talk with, the many we've not been able to reach, and those that do call out. We pray that you'd watch over them, and first of all, protect their lives and their family. Provide them a place of worship, even if it's just to gather together as a group, even in the outdoors, wherever it might be. Keep them safe, help them to rebuild, to restore, and help them as they go through this process to truly value each other just that much more. And for them to be able to look over their shoulder as their days go by, and feel your presence and be able to look at the day-by-day moments where you step forward and provide them for their every resource. And most of all, for the blessing of your presence in their lives. As I said before, Lord, I lift up to you our very country to ask that you would forgive us our failings, our shortcomings, our sin. And help us, Lord, to truly be faithful for those who are believers in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that they would have a strong backbone, a character that would stand and be a witness for you and humble themselves and pray so that you can heal our land. We know you'll be faithful to your word. We just pray, dear God, that we will be faithful in coming to you and humbling ourselves. Please forgive our nation and bless us with restoration and revival, O Lord. And all these things we ask, dear God, in Jesus' name, amen. Jim, as many of our listeners might also remember, it wasn't that long ago that we were blessed to have Rich Cristiano on our program. For those who may have missed that program, of course, it's in the archives. And Rich is a director, producer, writer of movies, very powerful movies. And, you know, while he was on our program, one of the things he mentioned towards the end of the program is he announced that they had a new program, or rather new movie, that was just getting ready to be started and prayerfully would be released sometime next year. We have an email from him that came in this week. I want to share with folks and then take a little bit of time to talk about it. A Matter of Faith is the name of the movie. And it starts production in Grand Rapids, Michigan on Friday, May 24th. And this is the next feature film planned for the Cristiano Brothers. It's the story of a Christian girl who attends college her freshman year. And she is a biology major, and her professor is a strong evolutionist. His wit and personality start to sway the girl from her Christian foundation, and thus the conflict begins. Rich Cristiano will direct, Dave Cristiano, that's his twin brother, will edit, and the brothers wrote the script together. The movie features actress Jordan Trevelyan in the lead role with actress Harry Anderson from Night Court fame as a professor and Clarence Gilliard from Walker, Texas Ranger in yet another role. The movie is being planned for the largest theatrical release from the brothers to date. Their last film, The Secrets of Jonathan Sperry, played in 313 theaters. And that's impressive as Christian films become more valued and more popular and certainly more well-known, and the quality just simply continues to go up. Jim, what are your thoughts about that?
Well, I wanted to go back to this, The Secrets of Jonathan Sperry. That was Darren McLeod, wasn't it, the Love Boat captain?
That's the one.
He was the lead role, and I thought it was a fabulous film. I loved that, and I want to see it again. And Harry Anderson, of course, I remember him.
If you're familiar with Secrets of Jonathan Sperry and any of his other films, those are available from our website. So certainly that's something they can check out. And if they go to the Log Talk Radio for Right Lions, they can see our previous programming, and either from the website or from Blog Talk website, they'll be able to get from archive the interview we had with Rich Cristiano. Very enjoyable, quite a individual, very talented and very diverse in his knowledge and background. So I would really encourage our people to listen to it again.
You know, Pastor, this movie that's coming out, I think is going to touch a lot of folks because I have a daughter, second year of college, and, you know, you and I have spoken before about what lies ahead in a college environment as far as the teachings, and we don't always have Christian professors, and so I'm anxious to see this movie, and maybe there are some tips on us, tips for us to help Ashley in her last 2 years of college. So I'm really looking forward to this film.
That's great. I'm looking forward to it as well, and would remind people who are in the Grand Rapids, Michigan area, you can go to the website for the Cristiano Brothers, and one of the things you'll find out is they are still taking a few extras. So if you've ever thought about being in a Christian film, this could be your special opportunity. I think they'll be shooting in that location for about 2 weeks. So that'll be a very special time and might be something that, you know, if you've had visions of stardom and thought, well, what better way to do it than with a cast and crew is putting Christ first. That would be a great opportunity.
Wow.
And leave a legacy that would truly be a matter of faith. So something for us to be looking for, and perhaps we'll be fortunate enough as we, I believe the release is going to be in 2014, so perhaps as we roll around to that release, we can either get Rich or Dave to come and join us, maybe even both of them, at the time that happens, and give us some little insights and nuggets as we look forward to that release of another fine Christian film.
Imagine, if you will, what it would be like if your country was conquered. The new government takes over. Life is totally different. You are a little more than a teenager, and you're taken captive and moved to another city. Held in comfortable surroundings. Make no mistake, you are a prisoner. Told what to eat, what to study, even when and how you will pray. What will you do? If you were Daniel that was written about in the Old Testament of the Bible, you would stand up for what you believe. In his book, Daniel, A Commentary of Prophecy, Dr. Charles Lyons goes through the book of Daniel and gives you lessons from Daniel's life that are totally needed today. Follow the lessons learned and the stands Daniel took against rulers, government corruption, political intrigue, and people of compromise. Learn from his life as a teenager, middle age, and finally as a senior. Get your copy of Daniel, A Commentary of Prophecy, today.
Hi, I'm Joe, and I want to tell you about a program that has been a real surprise for me. Now, I don't normally listen to or even care for religious programs, but these two guys, are different. The program's called Ask the Pastor, and it has a team of co-hosts, Pastor Charles Lyons and Jim Simmons. Pastor Charles is a writer and helps people who are troubled when they call in and they need someone to talk to. Jim works a regular job and also volunteers listening to and helping others. It's not what you expect from a religious program. They're Christian, they teach the Bible, and they talk about things that are going on in the real world. But it's more than that. They listen to people and they talk with them, not at them. As I said, the program's called Ask the Pastor, and you can listen to it on Blog Talk Radio on Thursday nights. I think you'll be really surprised and pleased. I know I was.
Can't wait. Thank you for that kind endorsement, those very encouraging words. Tonight is a very special night for us as we begin to wrap up our study from 1 John. It's been a powerful study, I think, and it's one that I think is too often neglected. From 1 John, we find words that are going out to people who are facing incredible persecution. They're living in a time when the government of the day simply didn't understand, grasp, or appreciate Christianity. People of their world at that time just seemed to, you know, play at religion, and more often or not, mocked religion. And Christians were perceived sometimes as being the people who just didn't get it. Now, I know some of you are sitting there thinking, is he giving today's news or is he giving us 1 John? Well, that's the whole point. It's a very relatable book for us. It's a book that you pick up and, you know, some of the things that John is saying seem very strong. But in order to be strong, in order to stand strong in your faith, you have to be prepared to take a stand, and you have to make it very clear, this is what I believe, this is what I believe, and this is how I live. And the exciting thing is, and perhaps the most empowering thing that you'll gain from the book of 1 John is know, K-N-O-W, a word that's used a lot in this book, in this chapter, to know. Now, let me try to explain part of the power of that word. You know, Jim, I don't know if I'd ever shared this with you, but when I was a young person, I walked an aisle on a Sunday morning, came down front, told them that I wanted to know God. To be honest, I mean, I knew a lot about the Bible, had a very godly mother, had sat under her teaching there at church, but still I came forward, I had questions. And what happened was at that particular church, at that particular time, somebody came up, sat down beside me, said, why'd you come forward? I told them once again, I want to know God. And they say, great, so you got saved today. And they pulled out a little clipboard with a card on it and started filling out the card, getting my name and address and age. And for all too often, too long, I went around thinking I was a Christian for the simple reason that I had expressed that I wanted to become one, not that I had become one. And during those years, I remember whether it was a storm, an accident, just a moment where I was feeling uncomfortable or unsure about myself, the immediate fear that raced through my mind was the question of, if something happened to me, would I go to heaven or not? Would it, I really know God? I keep looking back at that moment with confusion, with doubt. Now, it was some years later, even though time passed, I was so thankful for the fact that I finally reached that moment in an evening service, not even on a Sunday, just on a weeknight, they were having a special program. And during that invitation time, I realized that I had never, ever actually accepted Christ. You know, I surrendered for every project that came up in the church because I'd feel that tugging, and since I thought I was already saved, it must be I should commit to this or that, not a matter of admitting I was lost. But when I did, I accepted Christ. And the doubts, the fears, they rolled right back after getting saved. But you know the exciting thing is, Jim, when that happened after I really got saved, I went back to scriptures and I discovered that God gave us an assurance, a peace that I could know that I was saved. Mm-hmm. And so for the people that wonder sometimes, can you really know? I want to tell you on the authority of scripture, certainly you're going to find it in this book. You can know. Not so much from, do I do this list of things and do I not do those list of things? But because of the relationship that has taken place on the authority of Scripture, and that is so very, very important. If all you have to go on is feelings, you can wake up having a bad day and you're not going to feel saved. You know, you can get cut off in traffic or you can have somebody, you know, be rude or cruel to you in the job or the workplace, even your home. Right. Suddenly, you don't feel like you're saved because you don't feel right about yourself at that moment. But the relationship we have with Jesus Christ is nailed down on something that does not change, and that is His Word. You know, we were reminded again last week in our study about, you know, that we have a secure Word of God that is something we can go to. His Word changes not, the Scripture refers to.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm reminded from 2 Timothy 1:12, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed. And this is Paul speaking to Timothy, a young student, a young preacher, and he's reminding him, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him. What have I committed unto him? My very eternal life. I have committed unto him against that day. You see, when you commit it, and when it's based on the Word of God, His Word, all you have to do is go back to the Scriptures and say, this is what God said to do to get saved. Did I do it? Yes. And at that moment, it's no longer dependent on you. It's dependent on God's faithfulness with His Word. And I'll give you a very specific example of that. Jim, if you have your Bible there, would you share with us Romans 8, verses 38 and 39?
I sure will. Just takes me a second, because I'm open to our Scripture today.
Very good.
And you know, Pastor, what you're saying there about the Word, I think one of the things that people will notice as they watch our listen to our program is that you keep bringing us back to the same thing, to God's Word, not your opinion. So,
absolutely.
All right, we're looking at Romans 8. Correct.
Correct. Verses 38 and 39.
All right. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Exactly. You see, having accepted Christ as Savior, knowing that you've done what God said to do in His Word, when we pray that prayer and we believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead and He said we'd be saved, then people started wondering, said, yes, but will it last? And then you find this passage that Jim just read, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers, and this is my favorite part in here, nor things present nor things to come. Mm-hmm. Now think about that. Even if you say, well, that was in the Old Testament or that was in the New Testament, well, guess what, folks? He said things present or things to come. You know, none of that could separate us from the love of God. And you say, well, yes, but you don't know about all the new technologies or even building robots in Japan, and nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. All right? So you throw the robots in with the other creatures, and guess what? Nothing can separate us from the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
Which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So that's what we mean about to know. To know beyond the shadow of doubt. Now, once you get it nailed down and you're no longer fearing about what will happen if, and what if the tornado comes our way? What if the hurricane comes our way? What if just difficult days come our way? Well, guess what? The difficult days are here. And in the past, they have come and they've gone and they're coming now. And guess what? I am persuaded that death, life, angels, principalities, powers, things present, or even things to come, can separate us from the love of God. That's how faithful God is. And that's what this whole book has been about. Yes, Jim?
You know, when you read this, and I don't know if you're like me, but you think, okay, now wait a minute. What you've seen this in secular business. What did he leave out? You know, I know there's something he left out, and you look at this over and over again. Can you come up with anything?
I can't. I mean, it's just that solid. But then yet, that's how God is. I mean, He's the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning, the end. He's everything in between. And He is there because He so loves us. See, that's the thing. It wasn't that we went after Him. He came to us. We didn't have sense enough. We tried to... You know, we were teenagers in the Garden of Eden. We tried to flex our muscles and see who we are, and we had our own will. And God gave that will to us. You know, He didn't make us into the robots. He made us into people with a free spirit, a free will, that wasn't designed to make us trip up. That was because, you know, if we were going to love him, he wanted us to do it by choice. He wanted us to fall in love with him and build relationship. And, you know, the very first moments that we find about Adam and God is that they're walking in the garden, sharing together.
Right.
We have a God who is all-powerful, but also an all-powerful person of love and compassion and restoration. And he wanted to spend time with us and allow us to get to know him better. That's, to me, one of the reasons we have the very Word of God, so that if we choose to really love him, then every day we can get up, as the Scripture says, early while I seek him. Spend time with God, get to know him better. And this passage in 1 John we're in this evening begins in verse 12 of chapter 5. He that hath the Son of God, hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And John 5:24. Jim, you have that? You can see it. What's John 5:24 share?
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life.
And there's sort of a little side item, a caveat, if you will, that we want to talk about here. Because he that hath the Son hath life, he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. I've known people that in mocking God have said, well, when I'm dead, I'm dead. What's it matter? And you might say, well, God speaks of us receiving eternal life, so I guess if you don't accept him when you die, you just die. You're ashes, ashes, dust to dust. But there's more to it than that. You remember Jim said here, well, Jim reading shared with us what God has said through John in 5:24, verily, verily, I send you, he that heareth my word, believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And here's something very important for you to understand. Yes, that eternal life in Christ, his relationship, you know, even though this body will die, you know, we'll be absent from the body, present with the Lord in a moment, in an instant. Later on, there's a thing called the rapture will take place, and we'll be gone up with, be with him and be there eternally. And there's also another element to this, and this is something people never seem to think about. Just as eternal life is eternal, guess what? Death is not just something that takes place in an instant and is over. Death is also eternal. There is eternal life, and there is also eternal death. You know, verse 13, the next verse we're rolling into, says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. He's writing to believers in Jesus Christ, that ye may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. So there's eternal life in Christ, and we'll be in heaven one day because he's created a new heaven for us, a new place. And we'll go through all those things. But, you know, to a person, when they die in that moment, in that instant, they are instantly in hell. And so that is a separation from God. And, you know, in the long term, long after, and we don't have time to go all this, we'll get into death when we go through the book of Revelation. But, you know, there is also a point where the devil is given like one last chance, and then death and hell is all cast into the lake of fire. And that's the second death. That's the final judgment. But that is eternal as well. So when people make a choice, and people make a choice every day and don't seem to realize it sometimes, and that's one of the reasons we keep emphasizing it, when you choose to make your choice of accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you are getting eternal life. And that's what John 3:16 says. You know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so there's no other way, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Because you see, the alternative to everlasting life in Christ is everlasting damnation in hell. There is an eternal death. There is an eternal life. John 14:2, and Jim, if you'd be ready with 1 Thessalonians 4:13, John 14:2 says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. So Jesus is assuring us, putting us at peace. Many mansions, many places, we're going to have homes. We're not going to be doing without. You know, whatever your stress or struggle is in this life, be assured there's coming a day that you will be with Christ and you'll be in his Father's house, a place of many mansions. And that's the promise. Jim, what about that 1 Thessalonians 4:13?
Yes, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope.
So tonight, in these past weeks, we've seen this powerful word going all through 1 John, to know, to know, to know. And here we have sort of balancing that over in 1 Thessalonians 4:13. I'm not going to have you to be ignorant about this. Why? Because I want you to know about this. You're going to have hope. And the people over there in that passage, in that city of Thessalonica, you know what they were worried about? They knew and were confident that they'd go to be with Christ, but they're worried about, what about people who already passed away? You know,
yeah.
They were waiting for Christ. They saw the imminence of Christ. They saw him coming in their lifetime. And they got worried then and said, well, if, you know, if somebody passes away now, are they going to miss out? And he tells them, I wouldn't have you be ignorant about that. Let me put you at peace. Don't worry about the people who are already asleep in Christ. They've already died physically, but they're in with Christ in that moment, in that instant. Don't worry about them. Sorrow not, as others who don't have the hope, because they're heading for eternal death. They haven't accepted Christ. Because why? Because to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord, when you accept him, you have peace, not just for this life, but for an eternal life. And so what does that give us? That gives us verse 14 in this chapter, and this is the confidence. And, you know, I love the literal translation of that word. We get the English word confidence from it. It means literally unreserved speech.
Hmm.
Have you ever heard that expression, you know, you leave me speechless, I don't know what to say?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, this is the opposite. This is unreserved speech. I am so confident in Christ that I can't begin to stop talking about it. It just puts me at perfect peace. I have confidence. You know, you're not going to shut me up on the subject of God so loved the world. Say, this is the confidence we have in him. And here we go. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. And to ask is to ask. I mean, how's that for a nice, good Greek translation? If you ask, you ask.
That works.
All right. Was that too deep for anybody? Now, here's something important, though. Maybe you might overlook in this passage, and I've even heard people quote this and say it wrong. They'll say, you know, if we pray for anything according to his will, he, no, what the Bible says there is ask. You say, well, isn't praying asking? Praying is petitioning, interceding, and speaking with God in a very personal, powerful relationship. Because, you see, when you do it in relationship fashion, we're doing it because you're born again. You are placed in Christ, in the Beloved. When the devil tries to insult us and accuse us of, you know, to God, Jesus steps forward and says, they're mine. You know, they're in me. They are joint heirs with me, Father. And in other words, we've been covered by the blood. We are secure. We stand holy in the throne room of God, and no accusation can hold meat in that environment. And so, in other words, when we're coming to God and praying and earnestly and seeking God and coming in the authority of Scripture, what we're really doing is we're coming to God not only like when we pray we're two or more gathered in his name, but in this case we're praying saying, you know, I am a child of God. I stand in Jesus Christ, and God, I'm asking for this. There's a different relationship. There's a certain power that comes into play because you're coming as family at that moment. That's why a Christian prayer intercessor has a lot of power at their disposal. And usually when a prayer intercessor prays, they can pray two ways. If they have a lost person that's worried and troubled about something and they're not ready to accept Christ, they'll pray for them. But you know that person's coming with them like a guest into the throne room. But when they find another believer who has a burden and you're sharing that burden in prayer, well, you're going in as family. It's two brothers, a brother and sister, two sisters walking into the family room and saying, Father, this is what we've got going on right now. I need your help. Now, that's different from this passage. In this passage, we have a confidence if we ask. In other words, this is the child of God simply going to God and You know, we're not begging, we're not pleading, we're not having to remind him, we're your child, you need to do this for me. He's going in, and we've grown in our faith to the point that we know God, we have relationship, and we're asking something according to his will because we know what God wants in our lives. And so we're looking for the things. You know, we're looking for opportunities to be a witness. We're looking for opportunities to grow our families in a way that will honor him, or to see our churches grow and expand and just move the walls out and touch more lives. We're doing those things according to his will, and we're promised that he'll hear us.
You know, you just focused on the positive, and I was focusing on the negative. You said anything according to his will. So am I correct that suddenly I have this burden that when I want something or I go to God in prayer, I think I've had some kind of preliminary discussion with myself. Wait a minute. Is that going to be in accordance with God's will? In other words, if I want some destruction on a guy, or I want to win and hope he breaks his leg, or, you know, that, I think it gives us a moment to have a little preliminary discussion with ourselves. Wait a minute. When I go to God in prayer, I don't want to ask for something that's not his will. So
right.
I think according to his will also says to me, how will I know his will? I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, it's because it's in the Bible. And if I haven't read and had time in the Word, I may not really know his will or, you know, what's in accordance with his will. Am I correct?
That's true. I mean, you know, if you're my friend and you're my brother in Christ, the way I can give a good gift to you is by first knowing what are your interests, what are the things that you enjoy, what brings you peace and happiness. Then I'm able to get a better gift. I mean, you know me real well. You know, I value certain things, treasure certain things, and so you would know what would make me happy. Well, we want to make God happy. We want to do things according to his will. We want to, you know, look for the things that can be a blessing and that God could find pleasure in. And so by knowing God better, you know, and doing a little soul searching when we pray, and there are times when we have to pray for things that are just, Father, I'm your child. I need help with this, right? That's different. That's when we're talking about praying. Now we're talking about asking. You know, I can ask God for transportation, but it's a lot wiser for me to go to God and ask for transportation than for me to go to God and say, I want a Hummer, you know. maybe I want a Hummer. Maybe I want to take off to the Mississippi swamps and have a grand time. But let me tell you something. Maybe I don't need a Hummer. Maybe the transportation, maybe God's got something in mind for next week that, you know what, Charles needs, he don't need a Hummer, he needs a plane because I'm going to send him somewhere. You know, maybe when I pray for transportation, I say, boy, you know, that's a nice car, but what I need is a truck to get where I'm going. You see, God knows what the purpose is. He knows what I'm going to be facing. And consequently, if I come to him and ask him, God, take care of the transportation. I feel like you want me to go here, so what I'm asking of you, I believe I'm in harmony with your will. Please arrange the transportation. And when that happens, you know, maybe you won't be the one driving. Maybe you're going to have this other driver come along and you're wondering, why did they have to come along? I don't even know this person. But it turns out that maybe they're having problems in their family and you're the Christian that will be in their life to help them. Maybe that person has never become a Christian and you'll be the witness that will lead them to Christ. Maybe they are a believer, but they know people up there you don't know, and they will take you into an area, and you'll have a chance to be a blessing to people, and they'll be a blessing to you, and you'll draw closer to God in the process. Asking according to his will gives God the liberty to work in your life, to bring you opportunities to serve him, to be used by him, to be blessed by him. We need to box him up, and we say, this is all I want, God. I don't need anything else. Just give me this one thing, and I'll be happy. And we know ourselves well enough to know, no, there'll be something else out there we want. But the reality is, I mean, that's us. That's who we are. You know, there's a great commercial on. I don't know the company, so I'm not going to say they're good, bad, or indifferent. But this company, I mean, basically it's revolving around this family buying a car. And they said, well, they've had a family meeting to make their decision. And, you know, they refer to one child who's made a logical, you know, impassioned suggestion. And what it is this teenage girl that honestly holds up a picture of this red convertible and says, if I don't have this, I know I'll die, you know. Well, the family eventually, you know, arrives at the car that they want and would be great for the family. And everybody's relatively happy. Well, you know, that's sort of us. We can box down in the corner and say, I have to have this or I'm going to die, God. That's just what I got to have. And the funny thing is, you can't outthink God. You can't outguess God. And, you know, we fall into the trap of, you know, we got this big vision of what we want to accomplish, and we forget that God is so much bigger. And we're so frustrated that he won't give us A. You know, maybe it's, you know, that we need to be able to hold an opportunity and we want to see it. And God has something so much bigger. It would scare us, you know. He wants to give you the opportunity to reach groups of people, and you were just trying to get the person across the street, or you needed a car, but he had the vision that he was going to provide you driver and transportation because he needed you to be rested when you arrived to deal with a family that was hurting and troubled. Now, I'm not talking about extravagant luxury. I'm talking about that God knows what you need for the moment. Maybe it's the hotel room at the right time. Maybe it's staying with a family at the right time because that family needs your presence more than the hotel needed a hotel room rented.
Right.
Whatever it is that we ask of him, ask it according to his will. He'll hear, he'll respond, and it will be the best choice you could have ever hoped for. Now, verse 16 begins to change channels a little bit. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin unto death. Now, stop there for just a second to get a hold of what's starting to go on here. Sometimes, again, we're talking about brothers here, so we're talking about other Christians. Sometimes Christians do things that are just plain stupid. I know it's a shock, but we're born human. We tend to stay that way. And so, as humans, sometimes our thoughts get ahead of ourselves. Our pride gets in the way. Sometimes we even start to move into false doctrine. We have to be careful of that. But a sin that is a sin that's not unto death, you know, maybe you have a desire that's right. Maybe you're living dangerously. You're on the edge. You know, I've known people that when they went through a divorce, they got, you know, not suicidal in the sense that they're going to put a gun to their head. But suddenly you see them doing just very foolish things. They live a very dangerous lifestyle, traveling too fast when they're in their car, maybe taking up a sport that they're not prepared for, that's, you know, skydiving without lessons, and whatever it might be. We do things because secretly we're just not really at peace and we'd just like to end it. A sin not unto death, we can pray for that brother. We can pray for them to get their life turned around. Maybe it's a dangerous lifestyle. Maybe it's being adventurous or not careful with resources God is entrusting, and we pray for that person. And there we're asking, we're praying, and then he turns around and says that it's also situations. There is a sin unto death, and I don't say that you'll pray for it. So I think we need to clarify for folks, so what is a sin that's a sin unto death? Because remember, when we're praying, we're on equal ground. We're coming in as a son and said, God, don't do this to this person. Don't let them hurt themselves. Don't let them die. Sin unto death, there's a couple of examples. In Matthew 12, 31 and 32, and Mark 3, 28 through 30, Jesus spoke of an unpardonable sin. Now, in those passages, he was speaking of people who were attributing the miracles that Jesus was doing to Satan. And that was referred to as blasphemy. In other words, they were saying he's doing it in the power of the devil, or Beelzebub, I think they used in there. And Jesus rebukes the people, saying, no, that's just not the way it is. And, you know, the devil doesn't do miracles that way. And God, the devil doesn't bless. God blesses. And so that would be a sin of death. If you attribute to God, or rather to the devil, things that are actually being done by God, that's unpardonable. Is there also an eternal rejection of God in Jesus? Considering, you know, when Pharaoh hardened his heart again and again and again, people sometimes jump to the fact that God hardened his heart where there'd be no repentance. We forget, prior to that moment, repeatedly Pharaoh kept rejecting God. And there still is a time when God will harden of heart. And the sad thing is, we don't know when that is. But this is talking in that passage, again, to somebody who's not a Christian, hasn't accepted him yet. And then, in the context we're talking about tonight, we may be speaking of the believer who publicly sins a sin that impacts the body of Christ, causing many to stumble. Now, we thought all sin is sin. You know, it's sin. It's the sin as a whole that causes us to need to get saved, to get forgiveness. the individual sins after that can be something that gets between us and God and hurts our fellowship, our relationship. We're still going to heaven, but how can you fellowship with somebody if you're constantly disobeying them and putting other things, valuing other things higher? And so we come to this passage in 1 Corinthians 11:30-31. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many now sleep. Yes, we said earlier, for a Christian, that's the way we refer to a person who's passed away and gone to be with the Lord. They're already sleeping. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. It's God that's going to be doing the judging. And I think this comes into play. You know, I wish I could say it's just the high-profile preacher that messes up. And since it's impacting younger Christians, other Christians, even lost people, God has to step in and take them home early. But, you know, sometimes we read passages in the Gospels where God is highly protective of little children. And I think if you're guilty as a Christian of doing things that's hurting a child, maybe the way you're living, maybe the lifestyle you're demonstrating, the lack of faith you're showing, and maybe that child would begin to think, because, you know, sometimes mothers, fathers, uncles, aunts, they are practically worshipped by these little children. You are so important in their lives. And if you live a life that is disobedient to God, they think that's all right. That's the way to live. And I think you're really saying to yourself, you know, put me on the early list for departure, God, because if I stay here, I'll be hurting children. I'll be bothering people. And I think that's a sin unto death. You know, if you're going to be so damaging the body of Christ, the local church, individuals, large groups, you know, you're probably looking at a situation where you may shorten your own lifespan. So show some wisdom there. Have some understanding. You know, verse 17 says, all unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. So there's things you can do that will shorten your life. There's things that you can do that's just sin, and it needs to be dealt with. Jim, would you read for our folks Romans 14:21-23?
It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth. Or is
a now, pause. I want you to finish that, but I hope people have heard that little phrase. To do any of those things whereby thy brother stumbleth. So here's this idea being reemphasized over in Romans. You know, if you're causing someone else to stumble, more specifically, you're causing your brother in Christ, your sister in Christ, for their life to be impacted because of the way you're living, that's something dangerous. Continue on then.
Or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin.
Exactly. And see, there's things we can do, operating in the flesh, not operating in faith, that can cause others to stumble, that can impact their lives, not just our own. And so often, when somebody gets off into the flesh, the comments you'll hear them make is, said, well, I'm just doing it to myself. It doesn't affect anybody else. It affects other people. People that love you, people that value you, people that look at you because you've had a walk in Christ and you've had a testimony. If you choose to run off on your own desires, your own, say, no, I'm going to have it my way, I'm tired, you know, I'm just going to get my own satisfaction, trust me, you're going to be hurting other people in the process. Oftentimes it's your loved ones, your family, that are hurt by just seeing you go through this. But if you're disobedient to God, you're breaking his heart, you're breaking other people's heart. But at some point, God has to step in saying, you know, if you're going to hurt others, if you're causing your brothers to stumble, enough is enough. And what he's saying in verse 17, you know, there's a sin not unto death. We need to be praying for that person for restoration. Sometimes we have to put feet to our prayers, and that means go to that person, encourage them to come back in their faith, and encourage them to let them know that you care about them. Sometimes people get in trouble simply because they get to feeling so alone. They don't think anybody knows or cares. So part of our responsibility as believers is to go to our brethren and try to encourage them and let them know. We care. We notice. We see you're hurting. You know, step outside the box and pull them aside and let them know you're ready there to help, to pray, to intercede. Verse 18, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. In other words, that's to wander off the path. to find the fact that you're chosen not to deal with God anymore. See, we have eternal security. Remember we talked earlier about neither life nor death nor things present nor things to come to separate us from the love of God. So that's the sinning not part there. You can't lose what you've got once you've been born of God. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. In other words, we can't lose our salvation in Christ, but our keeping part, is the fact that we're going to stay with him so we know him better. We build relationship. It's a whole lot easier to build relationship once you get to know someone, and that's what this whole passage is talking about. Build the relationship with God, and there's a security in that you will have peace, you will have confidence. You don't have to do anything but accept Christ to have eternal security. But to have a relationship, to build the warmth, to know him, to love him, to walk with him, that takes getting to know him and doing the right things. Verse 19, and we know that we are of God. The whole world lies in wickedness. It doesn't take you too long to realize the world and the faith are two different opposing poles. Verse 20, and we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, Christ. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Jim, stand ready with John 16:13. As I share 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man perceiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. They're spiritually discerned, because they're spiritually discerned. In other words, for me to understand the Word of God, I need a teacher. And who is my teacher? Well, I was told that when Jesus went up, that a comforter would come. And one of the roles of the Holy Spirit is as a teacher. And he comes and he dwells with me. He secures my salvation. And he also gives me wisdom as I read his word to understand better. And that is given to every believer who accepts Christ as Savior. And Jim, what's John 16:13 say?
Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will shew you things to come.
Exactly. So the very Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth who indwells you, will guide us in truth. He'll give us wisdom in truth. He'll speak, and he'll guide, and he will direct, and he'll show us those things to come. You stay in Christ, in the Beloved, you've got eternal security. You have the very Spirit of God sealing you, so you're not going to lose your salvation. So you can know that you are saved. And you can know that you stand before God in a righteous relationship. But you also know that he indwells you, and he'll teach you, and he'll guide you. So you don't have to stumble through life always wondering. You can know. The questions that come in your life, there are answers available. And little verse 21, like it's tacked on the end, is so powerful and skipped over too often. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. They lived in an age where there were idols, false gods, virtually everywhere they looked. And folks, there are idols all around town. Sometimes they're actual idols, false religions that have come into America that have built their false statues and fall down and worship at them. And other times, they're the things that we value in life so much higher than family or God, or we put those things ahead of him. And he's warning us, like little children, watch out, stay away from them. Because those things interfere in the growth of your faith, building relationship. You want to have a life that's pleasing to God, and you want to know God like maybe some of your Christian heroes. Get a hold of 21. Let loose of the idols. Don't look for them. And get over into all the passages that we've been going over here that is so strong with that powerful little word, know. Because once you know, you don't have to wonder. Once you know, you don't have to fear. Once you know, you don't have to doubt. Because you know that you can trust God. Jim, your thoughts?
Well, I don't know how many times the word know was used, but it's so comforting that there are absolutes with our Heavenly Father. It's, everything. I get angry sometimes, and you and I had shared an article this afternoon that angers me, and you think, you know, if it's not what the majority wants, let's just change the rules. And it infuriates me that that is what America is doing. And when you call for revival of this nation, I pray that it's a mighty revival, because we seem to be in an era, a time of, we don't like the rules, we just change them. And it doesn't matter what we grew up believing and establishing this nation with rules and regulations that are not to keep us from having fun, but rather to protect us. And that's what God's word is absolute, not to be a killjoy, but because he can see down the road where we can't.
Absolutely. That is so powerful. And, Jim, I want to take just a quick reminder for our folks. You know, I don't know, I guess you just sort of fired me up there with that thought that, you know, we need to know there are absolutes. We don't live in a gray world. The world wants it gray. The world wants it to say, no, it's when God says it, well, maybe he implied it. No, when God says something, he said something. We can trust him. Remember, the same God that you're trying to sort of play with the words about do this or do that, remember, he's, those same words are the ones that gave you salvation. So be careful about playing with them. What I wanted to mention in closing is just a reminder for folks that if this is something you enjoy and would find benefit from, that we do have a newsletter. We had an issue that just went out this afternoon. Our schedule is being set up to where those will probably be going out early Friday mornings. And we have some material there that deals for Christian writers. It deals with witnessing, and it deals with our broadcast. And so if you'd like to have a little jump or some insight about what's coming up next week, that's a great place to find out. So I encourage you to go to our website, and you'll see one of the headers across the top, simply titled Writer's Newsletter. You don't have to be a Christian writer to sign up for it, because as I say, Christian writer also, so if you find that interesting, by the way, you'll find one nugget a week in there on that subject. But there's also be something about the radio program that we're doing now, what's coming up the next week, and also some simple tools on soul winning that we hope you'll enjoy. Jim, your closing thoughts?
Well, thank you for keeping us back in the Word, where there are absolutes instead of what we think or what our conjecture might be. So you're training us to use God's words instead of our own. Thank you for that, and thank you for accepting this service of bringing the Word to people.
Well, I tell you, I don't want to draw people to me. I want to draw them to Christ. And, you know, I may not be walking alongside the person who's dealing with an issue at a critical time other than Thursday night, but if you have the Word of God available to you, you've got the answer waiting for you. So know that you can always turn to Him, trust Him. And my prayer is that everyone will join us again next week, invite others to join and be a part of Ask the Pastor.
Thank you for joining us today on Ask the Pastor. We hope that you found the time beneficial, a blessing, and that you will join us again soon. If you had a question and did not get a chance to ask it, please email your question to us at askthepastor@whitelions.com. We will try to respond to your question either by email or answer it on the air during a future broadcast. Now, on behalf of Jim Simmons, Charles Lyons, and the whole Ask the Pastor team, we encourage you to explore our website for encouragement and great resources. You can find us at www.brightlions.com. So, until next time, read, study, pray, and prepare for your life of faith and freedom.